The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me repackage that line about actions speaking louder than words in this way. Bodies don't lie. If you claim on your resume that you are a faithful, dedicated, dependable worker, and yet your body doesn't show up to work several times each week, it will not take long for your employer to come to the conclusion that the words on your resume are stretching the truth. Your body, or in this case, your bodily absence, is telling a truer story. And in the same way, nobody will take seriously a claim to friendship if your friend dies and you blow off the funeral and tell the family, "I figured it was going to be recorded. I'll just watch the video later when it's convenient for me." We recognize that something like a funeral calls for us to show up in our bodies, both to honor the departed as well as to offer to those who are mourning the kind of comfort and consolation that can only be communicated by our embodied presence. Bodies don't lie. So what were the bodies of the women of early Easter morning telling us? Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. These women had dragged their bodies out of bed in the cold, dark, wee hours of that morning. They were carrying in their arms the burden of the spices for the burial. Their legs and feet were hurrying them along the path until they reached that point where they could lift up their eyes and see the tomb where on Friday afternoon Jesus' body had been hastily laid to rest. Everything about the women's action on that morning speaks of their great love for their Lord and of their desire to honor him even in his death. Consider just how unpleasant the work that they had before them this morning was going to be. They were going to go into that tomb. They were going to unwrap the corpse, and in so doing, they were going to be forced to confront the brutal, violent trauma that had marred and disfigured this man beyond human appearance or recognition. They were going to have to take that battered, bruised, and dead body, anoint it with the spices, and then lovingly wrap it up again, saying their final farewell. How we treat our dead and even dead bodies tells us a lot about what we believe and think about the body. And that the women were going to go and do this undergird some of the firmly held convictions that these women would not let go. That a human life is of infinite value. That there is worth and dignity in being an embodied creature. And that somehow we have a hope that death will not be the end, of this watery bag of cells and tissues that is hung on a frame of bones and defies gravity for a few short years between infancy and old age, when most of us, though not all, can walk around on our own two legs and feet. Women's actions tell us all about that. But the fact that they were going to a grave cries out in a loud voice that you and I are utterly helpless in the face of death. What can we do when someone dies? We can cover up the stench of death with the smell of funeral flowers. We can go up to the widow, throw our arms around her, wrap her up in a hug, and assure her that she is loved and will not be forgotten. But we cannot show up at a funeral and make death go away. And a dead body is always communicating to us a memento mori, a reminder of our own mortality, that the day will come when we too will be viewed, not seen, when others will have to carry our body, and when family and friends will gather to honor us and to comfort and console one another. We are here for just a short while, and the wrinkles on a baby's face soon give way to the wrinkles of old age, and in between every bodily injury and illness that we endure is a little voice crying out about our impending mortality, crying out that you and I are going to die. But because bodies do not lie, the young man who was on the right-hand side of Jesus' tomb did not merely say to the women of early Easter morning that Jesus was not here, that he had risen from the dead. He swept his right arm across that tomb and directed their gaze to that narrow rocky ledge, that shelf maybe 5-6 feet long, where on Friday afternoon Jesus' friends had quickly wrapped up and hidden the carnage away and lovingly placed that body until the Sabbath was passed. And in sweeping his arm over there and causing the women's eyes to follow it, he was calling their attention to this great witness to the truth that was Jesus' bodily absence. He pointed to the place and said, "See the place where they laid him. See, there is no body here. See, he's risen from the dead." It's hard to have a funeral, ladies, when there's no body. So put away the burden of your spices and take up that joyful burden of becoming the messengers to proclaim to this world that Jesus Christ, far from being just the memory of some great moral teacher living on in the collection of his sayings and the minds and memories of his followers, far from being the first great spirit to transcend these bodily, physical limitations that all of us carry, go and tell this world that Jesus Christ rose very much alive in his flesh and blood. Go and tell this world that Jesus, that his resurrection is a resurrection of the body. And that being raised in human flesh and blood, he now shares our humanity forever, never to die again. My friends, the vacant place in Jesus' tomb speaks the greatest, grandest, and truest story of them all. It shouts to us that while we are helpless in the face of death, our God is most certainly not. And that by his might and power, death is not so final after all. It tells us that if Jesus Christ was raised bodily from the dead, well, then you and I also will likewise be raised from the dead in our bodies. Yes, it is the empty tomb of Easter morning that undergirds our firmly held conviction, which we confess, I believe in the resurrection of the body. And that belief in a bodily resurrection, it changes the way we have of thinking about and dealing with these bodies of ours. For starters, it affirms the goodness of what God in the beginning made when he took dust of the earth and a rib and shaped and fashioned it into human bodies, when he breathed into us, male and female, the breath of life, when he stood us up to be his image bearers in this world, our God spoke over it all and said, "Very good. It is very good to be a human being, body and soul nobly joined together as we are." And even if sin entered God's good world and twisted and distorted what God had made good so that now in our lives we experience a great deal of unease about these bodies or dis-ease with the particular body the Lord has given to me or a disease that makes a wreck of our bodies, if much of the suffering and affliction that we endure is endured in our flesh and blood, well, does not the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in his body assure us that sin can harm and twist and distort, but it cannot destroy? And it is no match for the power and grace of our God. Does it not loudly proclaim that our God has redeemed us in our bodies? He's redeemed all of us from the top of your head to the tip of your toes, your heart and mind and soul as well. He has redeemed it all. And he has promised and prepared for you an eternal future in your body at the resurrection. That means that death, a place in the ground 6 feet under, is definitely not our final resting place. Just as surely when we go to a cemetery and see a tomb and watch a body being lowered into the vault, that cries out to us the horrible wage that sin has wrought. Well, just as surely the empty tomb on Easter morning proclaims to us God's gracious gift of everlasting life, that he will give these bodies back to us. And our final resting place, far from being dark and cold and clammy and underground, will be in the light and air and joy of the new heavens and the new earth, where God will gather our resurrected bodies together with Jesus in his, and where we will experience life in all of its fullness. There we will find our perfect and final rest. There. But not now. For now, more life in this body awaits us. And you know, these bodies of ours are kind of like pieces of fine china, porcelain. Beautiful, intricate, delicate, and woundable, fragile, easily broken. The thing about a china bowl is that if you knock it off the table and it shatters into pieces, there's no putting that back together again. Sure, you can reach for the tube of super glue and you can painstakingly piece it all back, but once you have it glued up, you know that bowl will still never be the same as it was before it was broken. Its integrity is lost. In fact, if you have just a tiny little chip on the rim of your china teacup and you glue it back into place and there's only a faint line there, won't your eye always go directly to that faint line and that chip and remind you that the piece is not whole anymore? So this problem inspired craftsmen in Japan to come up with a different solution. Rather than taking a broken piece of fine china and just trying to put it back together again as close as possible to the way it had been, Japanese craftsmen in fine porcelain and china decided to take gold, grind it up into powder, mix it with resin, and use this even more precious material to painstakingly piece together a broken piece of china, but now with gold veins holding the whole thing together. It's a Japanese art that's called kintsugi. And if you see one of these pieces, you might consider just how strikingly beautiful it is, to the point where if you came to the conclusion that it's actually better with the gold veins running through it than it was before it was broken, well, you wouldn't be the first person to come to that conclusion. It's incredible and remarkable. And isn't that a picture of what God is doing with these bodies of ours? We walk around on this earth in earthen clay vessels, and as we go our way, they get battered and bruised and chipped and broken. All of us feel, or will soon feel, the particular afflictions that are unique to our own bodies and embodied existence. But rather than just putting us back together again the exact way that we were, our God has promised us a resurrection from the dead that will actually be better than the bodies we have right now. It will still be you, just as surely as it was Jesus who was raised from the dead, even with the scars still visible on his hands and on his side, and yet those scars remarkably no longer were marks of violence and brutality and trauma, but scars that bespoke his great love for us and the great extent and length to which he would go to redeem us in our bodies. And so God has promised for you and me that though death is going to come and shatter this clay vessel into pieces, he will put it back together again, and he's not reaching for the tube of superglue. He has instead mixed the gold of Jesus' resurrection into the waters of baptism, and there has made you a promise that you will live again, and that in your resurrected body, you will be made so whole that it will be better than you are now. Still you, and yet life in a body in which you will be subject to no more hurt, no more mourning, no more illness, no more crying, no more pain. Life in the body where you will no longer have to face the specter of an impending death. It will be you, but with the gold of Jesus' resurrection running through you to give you indestructible and incorruptible life. Life to the full. And on that day, God will gather us together and he will say, "There you are, just as I knew you always were." And we will see each other. And we will say, "I had no idea that's what you were and are." And because bodies don't lie, for all eternity, we will gather in these resurrected bodies together with Jesus and his. We'll be glad to see each other, but the fullness of our joy will be to see Jesus. And for all eternity, our bodies will testify to the grace and power of our God that first crackled into this world with divine potency on Easter morning when the women went to the tomb and Jesus' body was not there. Amen. Please stand.